Chapter 20. I carry exile in my heart. It animates my poetry and my politics. I will never be free of it, having lived outside of Tixkalan for so long. I will always be measuring the distance between myself and a person who remained in the heart of the world, between the person I would have been, had I stayed, and the person I have become, under the pressure of the frontier. When the 17th Legion came through the jump gate in bright star-snatching ships and filled up the Abrekti sky with the shapes of my home, I was at first afraid, a profound discontinuity, to know fear in the shape of one's own face. From Dispatches from the Numinous Frontier, 11 Lathe. What, my dear, is worth preserving? Your joy in work? Mine in discovery? Private letter from Ambassador Yaskander Agavan to the Iswazwakat 19 ads. Undated. They were keeping the Emperor in a bunker under Palace North. It took 45 minutes to walk there, Mahit and 3 seagrass and 19 ads and one of the aides, the young man, 45 sunset. They went through tunnels, avoiding the curfew, the roving bands of sunlit. The entire palace complex was riddled with them, deep under the ground. At her left, 3 seagrass murmured, "The rumors are that the palace sinks as many roots into the ground as it does blooms into the sky. We daylight servants of the empire see only the flowers, justice, science, information, war, and the roots which feed us are invisible but strong." Mahit liked hearing her talk. It was how they'd started this, barbarian and liaison, 3 seagrass decoding Tixkalan for her. She liked it, and at the same time, she knew that 3 seagrass was doing it to keep herself calm. 19 ads moved them through checkpoints, guarded first by the shimmering AI walls of the city, opened by 19 ads as cloud hook, and then by ever-increasing numbers of Tixkalanlitslim, dressed very simply in gray tunics and trousers, with armbands bearing the imperial crest on their left arms. Mahit was reminded of the judiciary forces who had been chasing 12 Azalea, and thought of 8 Loop, who was 6 Directions Kreshsib, who might have given him a secret personal guard of judiciary-trained people. They all had shock sticks. Some of them, more as they went deeper, had projectile weapons. And one woman carried what Mahit would swear was a laser which should have been mounted on the prow of a small warship. None of them wore the full-face cloud hooks of the sunlit. The innermost guards wore no cloud hooks at all, and they took the cloud hook 19 ads was wearing from her. She gave it over easily. One lightning's infiltration of the city's AI algorithm, one lightning working through war, must have gone very deep, to have the Emperor guarded only by people who would be guaranteed free of any influence of it. Left as naked and abandoned by the vast flow of Tixkalanli literature and history and culture and moment-to-moment news, as Mahit had been naked and abandoned when she had lost contact with her imigo. 19 ads spoke to some of them. Others simply nodded to her. Mahit wondered how many times she'd come this way before, whether she was new to this level of disaster and threat, or if there had been other times in the long history of her service to 6 Direction that he had been forced to hide down here in the strange heart of the Empire. "I never knew about it," said Yaskander. "He might have slept with you, but you weren't his," Mahit told him. "I didn't want to be anyone's. I loved him. That's different." "How can you love an emperor like you'd love a person, Yaskander?" "Unspoken." "How could I? Would I?" She never had. That was all Yaskander. She'd met the emperor twice, once in public and once in private, and been impressed, had felt the echoes of Yaskander's familiarity all through her nerves and limbic system. But that wasn't her. Maybe it was them, though, the combination of her and both Yaskander's integrating together. And that might be a problem. She wanted to stay as objective as she could. Beyond the last door and the last guards was a small room, by Imperial standards, flooded with sunlamp light. The whole ceiling was made of full-spectrum lamps. It was warm, like basking in solar radiation on a viewport couch was warm, and bright enough that Mahit thought no one in here would ever sleep again. More gray-uniformed guards stood in the corners, and one of them stepped forward to take Three Seagrass's elbow and gently separate her from Mahit and 19 ads. She left willingly. Six Direction himself sat in the center of the room on a divan, dressed in resplendent red, purple, and gold. And while at home in Palace Earth, he had borne a halo of sunlamps. Here in the deep places under the city, he was surrounded by a scintillating fortification of information holographs, a migraine aura composed entirely of reports. He looked terrible. His skin had gone to a gray-brown crepe, translucent purple under the eyes. And while the smile he turned on 19 ads, and then on Mahit herself, was brilliant and sharp enough to make her heart flip over in her chest, she was scared for him, viscerally. "He wasn't this bad when I died," Yaskander said to her. "I don't think the past 3 months have done anyone any favors, including his brilliance. Dying men die faster when they aren't allowed to rest."
"Emperors don't sleep."
"Your brilliance," said 19 ads. "I've brought you trouble again."
"So you have," said the Emperor. "Come sit beside me once more, Mahit, and let us see if we get any farther than we did in our last conversation."
Mahit went, drawn forward by invisible strings, desire, hers and not hers, obedience to Imperial authority. All the effort and sacrifice she had put into making this meeting possible. She sat, becoming part of the fortification aura of information. Just one more piece of data surrounding Six Direction. There were visible bruises, this close up on the Emperor's wrists, over the veins. Inelastic skin and thin-walled vasculature insulated by what must have been countless injections. She wondered what was keeping him alive. "I also have come to bring you trouble," she said.
"I hardly expected any less from Lascelles Station."
Six Direction smiled at her, Lascelles smile, with mouth and teeth, and she didn't know what to do with how much she felt all at once. It would be so useful if she felt nothing, if she could be purely a political tool, purely an instrument of preventing Taixkalan from annexing Lascelles. It would be so easy to be cold and clear and talk, Mahit, or I will. For a moment, Mahit considered slipping, letting Yaskander have her, letting Yaskander talk to his emperor one last time. And then she felt sickly horrified. "Get the fuck out of my neurology and out of my limbic system, Yaskander. I am not you reborn. That is not how we are." A hiss, like static on a wire. Then, "Talk." "Your brilliance," Mahit began. "I have received actionable intelligence from my government on Lascelles, which describes a grave threat to Taixkalan. Graver, I am afraid to say, than the current unpleasant chaos outside this room."
"Do go on," said Six Direction. "I could use a distracting problem, one slightly less intractable than my current situation, however grave."
Mahit went on. She explained the entire message, explained it as she had to 19 ads, including its blatant political maneuver. And then she waited, to see what the Emperor would say. He was quiet for the space of a few breaths. She could hear the faint bubbling in his lungs. Then he looked to 19 ads.
And do you think our latest Lysel ambassador is as credible as the last one?
He asked her. 19 ads, standing next to 3 seagrass nearer the door, nodded. I wouldn't have brought her here if I didn't believe her. I think she's reporting exactly what she was told by her government, and I think she's reporting her biases honestly. If this was at any other moment, my lord, I'd suggest she was coming to us for help. A fair diplomatic trade, vital information for her station's continued lack of being formally takes Kalanli.
It is not any other moment, said Sixth Direction.
He turned back to Mahit.
I will ask you what I asked you before, Mahit Dismar, and with appreciation and thankfulness at being informed of this danger, will you agree to what your predecessor agreed to? Give me what Yaskander would have given me, if not for my lovely friend 19 Ads and the arrayed forces of science and judiciary. Trade me, my life reborn, and you will not even need this danger to protect your interests in the cell.
Can't we be done with this, Sixth Direction? 19 Ads said, and there was an aching, exhausted anguish in her voice. I want you to live, and to hold the throne forever. I will miss you all the days of my life when you are gone. But the Sun Spear throne is not a barbarian medical experiment, and should not be. Look at Mahit, your brilliance. She has Yaskander in her, and she is not Yaskander. The Emperor affixed his eyes on Mahit's. She felt like she was drowning. All the supernatural power she'd imagined a blood ritual to evoke for her was right here, and all it was reflected limbic system response, a trick of neurology. And yet, there was a soap bubble thin hook behind her sternum, an ache. Sixth Direction lifted one of his hands. They did not shake, and she had time to wonder at his strength, and cupped her cheek in his hand. She let Yaskander, the sequence of responses, continuity of memory, and its reflection on emotion, on pattern, that used to be Yaskander, lean into that palm. Let him shut her eyes in a deep, slow flutter. And then took it all back, sat up straight with her eyes wide open, and said, Your brilliance. He loved you. I have met you thrice. In the shocked little silence that followed, she went on. Besides, I do not have an Imago machine for you, and I cannot, even in a better situation than this, get you one in time to preserve your memory before your life is over. I am sorry, Sixth Direction. But my answer is no. The Emperor smudged his thumb along the curve of her cheekbone.
There's one in you, he said, isn't there?
If you want it, Mahit told him, swallowing hard against bright fear. He was the Emperor. If he wanted to carve her open, he could wave a hand and one of the gray-clad guards would do it right here on the floor, with 5 portico surgical scar to guide them. You could put me and Yaskander. 2 versions of Yaskander, even, it's complicated, it's also very fucking complicated, into your mind, or into the mind of anyone you like. But there is no Imago machine, your brilliance, which will bring you, and only you, into another person's mind. None, for 2 months' worth of travel. Sixth Direction sighed and let her go. She felt the afterimage of his hand like a brand, glowing hot, hypersensitive.
It does not change very much, I suppose, he said. I have not been counting on the hope of resurrection since your predecessor's death. I was not expecting you to bring me hope. I had only wished for it.
He waved a finger, and 19 ads came to him. Sank to the floor at his side on her knees.
He put a hand to the back of her neck, and she leaned up into it. Mahit had thought of her as an enormous tiger, clawed and dangerous, and yet she knelt. She leaned into that hand.
"Nothing Empire touches remains itself,"
Yaskander murmured to her. Or perhaps that was her own voice, casting itself in a tone she'd be most likely to believe.
"How goes this very stupid rebellion, 19 Ads?"
asked the Emperor.
"Stupidly," 19 Ads said, "but badly for everyone. One lightning is killing civilians. 30 Larkspur is trying to unseat you via flat-out internal coup. I believe because he thinks if you die, 8 Loop and 8 Antidote will cut him out of the government. So he's using One Lightning as an excuse to take preemptive power while you're still alive, and doing it by sending instigators into the streets with his ridiculous little badges of floral honor. We've lost 2 Rosewood in information. She's dead, or as good as. And I don't have much hope about 19 Propulsion in war. If she hasn't gone over to One Lightning already, she might, at any time, if she thinks it will get her Nezwazwakat's position in his government."
"Would you like to be Information Minister, 19 Ads, since you know everything already?"
"I like my current title. As I've said multiple times," said 19 Ads, and sighed a little. "If you need me to be, though, I will."
"That's not what I need from you," Six Directions said.
Mahit found absolutely no comfort in his phrasing. Neither, from her expression, did 19 Ads.
"Where is 8 Antidote?" 19 Ads asked.
"If you can tell me, I am concerned, my lord, for his welfare."
It would matter very much where the 90% clone was. Even at 10 years old, was he convinced when you and Six Direction finally agreed on your trade, Yaskander? Or was he already an insurance policy? He was likely to be the first of the 3 co-emperors by virtue of his genetic heritage when Six Direction died, if Six Direction died before the child reached his majority.
"He's down here with us," said Six Direction. "You will protect him, 19 Ads, won't you?"
"Of course I will. When have I not acted in your best interests, your brilliance?"
"When she killed me," Yaskander whispered, and Mahit wondered if the Emperor was thinking the same thing.
"Oh, once or twice," Six Direction said,
and instead of flinching or being cowed, 19 Ads laughed. Mahit could abruptly imagine how they must have been when they'd first met. 19 Ads, a young military commander. Six Direction, come into the high blossoming of his power. The easy friendship that they'd struck up. The successes of their partnership. Then the Emperor turned back to Mahit, and she felt quite small and terribly young, and not nearly as simpatico with these 2 Taixkalan Leetslam as Yaskander had been. She wouldn't have become part of that strange triangle.
"Are you sure? It took me a decade to fall. You've had a week."
No, she wasn't sure. She merely wasn't ready.
"So, Mahit Dismar, if you cannot solve the most fundamental problem of good government for me, if you cannot give me eternity and stable rule, what can your news from Daj Taratz give me? What shall I do with an alien invasion on the borders of my empire, from down here, while I hide from death and deposition in the heart of my palace?"
And just like that, she was being given a test. The same way she'd felt on her first day here, suddenly knowing she needed to speak Taixkalani all the time, not just in her mind or between friends. She would speak Taixkalani now. She knew the phrasings, the shadings. She had all of Yaskander's long history with Six Direction, all the conversations they had had, over tables and at legislative meetings and in bed,
to guide her. Everything that ached, her hand, her hip, the endless, endless headache, fell away, and she thought, all right, now. You can discredit one lightning, she said, and you can elevate 8 loop above 30 Larkspur.
Go on.
She was flying. One lightning is waging an usurpation, an attempt to be acclaimed emperor. And has he won victories? No. Is he even trying? No. He is leaving the edges of Taixkalan open to alien threat. A barbarian had to bring this message to you, which is a shameful failure on the part of your Yautlek, who should have known of this danger first, but has put himself and his vainglorious ambition above the safety of the Empire. She had to pause for breath. Behind her, she could feel Three Seagrass's eyes on her, and wished that her liaison was with her, close enough to hold her hand. And 8 Loop warned the entire city that the annexation war, which 30 Larkspur supports, has supported in public at your last oration contest, was of dubious legality, due to the possibility of these threats. She fulfills her role as judiciary minister. 30 Larkspur is exposed as using his position of influence upon you to put you in political danger. She winced a bit. It does ask you to admit that you may have been led astray by your Azwazwa cat. I have to confess.
A small price, Six Directions said. I am an old man and easily persuaded by interests foreign to me. Am I not?
Never easily, my lord, Iskander said, and Mahit had to clamp her jaw shut on the words. Instead, she shrugged, spreading her hands wide. Better to not say anything. Better to make this case for LaSalle Station in Taixkalanli words. Six Direction looked down at 19 ads. Some communication passed silently between them. She nodded. His hand came off the back of her neck, and she got up to her feet, fluid and graceful for a woman in middle age who probably hadn't slept for a day and a half at least. We'll have to broadcast it, she said, on every feed. Imperial override, emergency message. And it will have to be you saying it, your brilliance. No one will believe a proxy right now. You saying it, and the ambassador pre-recorded and spliced in as appropriate.
As ever, 19 adds, I do trust your judgment.
19 adds's smile was more like a flinch. Mahit suspected she was thinking of how she had allowed Yaskander to die and doomed Six Direction at the same time. It would be like a thorn in her, a goad. Six Direction must like that, to have something to twist. Ambassador Dismar, said 19 adds. Mahit, will you record your statement from your government for us? If this was the plan, this was the plan. Yes, Mahit said, I will. Where should I go?
Oh, we have everything we need right here, said Six Direction. Emperors have lived down here for months. A holograph recorder is nothing.
He waved a hand toward some of his gray-uniformed attendants, and they swung into motion. Some left the room, others approached Mahit and the Emperor on the couch, with some wariness.
She looks like she's been dragged through the riots, said one of them. The blood on her. I think we should keep it. It suits the gravity of what she brought you.
Even barbarians can make sacrifices, said Six Direction. We could all take note of that.
As the attendants helped her up from the couch and led her into a room which looked identical to the Imperial briefing room Mahit had seen on the news feeds when she'd watched the annexation war being announced from 19 Ads' breakfast table, she tried very hard not to feel filthy, corrupted, made useful. It didn't work. It didn't work, and it didn't stop her from telling her secrets again, this time to the recording cameras, as clearly,
and persuasively as she could. The Emperor and 19 ads had a brief, vehement argument about where they would broadcast the announcement from. 19 ads was for everyone remaining hidden underground. But Six Direction waited her out, let her say all sorts of flattering things about his welfare and fragility, and then proclaimed that he was, in fact, the Emperor of all Taixkalan, and he would make this announcement, fearlessly, from the Sun Temple at the top of Palace North, and that she would come with him and stand beside him while he did it. There was no real arguing with him. Mahit could feel the weight of his authority, even diminished and under threat, the long shadow of his 80 years of peace stretching out to shape even this moment. After the argument was over, there was the usual administrative chaos of orchestrating a complex public appearance on no notice, a rapid 20 minutes of imperial attendants talking briskly to one another, sending messages. The Emperor and 19 ads vanished under heavily armed escort. Mahit caught sight of the child, 8 Antidote, being whisked off into the chaos of that escort, and thought of how many times he might have been moved similarly, relocated at the whim of one political moment or another. He looked at her as he went, a small, thin boy, observant, straight-backed. Mahit thought of the birds in the garden palace. "They don't even have to touch you," 8 Antidote had said then. He'd been talking about the birds, she'd thought at the time. But it was true. They didn't touch him. They moved him without laying hands on him at all. She herself was taken into another room, smaller, more private, strewn about with infofiche and print books, half-erased hollow projections still up on the screens. A workroom. There was a couch in the middle of it, and Mahit sat down on it. Someone brought her a warm washcloth to wipe the blood and dust off her face. Someone else brought her 3 seagrass, who was bemusedly holding a large cup of tea. And the two of them ended up sitting on the couch next to one another, watching the swirl of activity around them. Mahit felt unmoored, entirely cut away from the world. All her tethers gone. Even Yaskandar in her mind was a banked, quiet presence. Half the wall in front of them was taken up by an enormous hollow projection, the only one still active. It had begun broadcasting the Imperial seal and flag, with the countdown timer superimposed. 48 minutes until the Emperor would speak to his people. At 37 minutes, the attendants, save for a guard at the door, all vanished, the great machine of Imperial work lifting away and alighting somewhere else. Mahit had played her part. She'd given her secrets up. There was nothing she could do now but wait. 3 Seagrass put her empty teacup down on the floor. 35 minutes. The quiet was velvet soft. Mahit couldn't stand it. "What do you think they're doing?" she asked, just to hear sounds that weren't her own breathing or 3 Seagrasses, lighter and more rapid. 3 Seagrass swallowed, pressed 2 fingers between her eyebrows as if she was shoving back tears. "Oh, I guess they're finding 8 Loop," she said, and her voice was not at all steady. Mahit turned, looked at her with real concern. "For the visual impact of Imperial authority, all of them standing together. 3 Seagrass, are you all right?" "Oh, fuck," 3 Seagrass said. "No, I'm not. But I was hoping you wouldn't notice." They were alone. The door guard was guarding the door, looking away, a silent and still presence. They were suspended, out of time, out of the inexorable forward flow of events. Mahit reached out, horribly conscious that this gesture wasn't hers, wasn't even Yaskandar's, but belonged to the Emperor, and cupped 3 Seagrass's cheek in her hand. "I notice," she said. It was not unexpected when 3 Seagrass burst into tears, but it was awful. Mahit felt guilty, like she'd caused it, this little shattering, like she'd tapped too hard on the shell of an egg and it had splintered, held together only by the internal membranes inside. "Hey," she said,
Hey, it's... It wasn't all right, and she wasn't about to say so. Instead, acting on instinct and an upwelling of care, a feeling like her vagus nerve had been expertly struck and was vibrating, she reached to pull 3 seagrass into her arms. She came willingly. The slight weight of her rested against Mahit's shoulder, and her face was pressed into Mahit's collarbone. Hot tears dampened her shirt. Gently, Mahit stroked her hair, still unbraided from its habitual cue. The world was spinning on and on and on, the countdown at 32 minutes, and she couldn't fathom the wrenching depths of what this must feel like to 3 seagrass, who had looked like she would cry at the very mention of civil war, back in 12 Azalea's apartment.
I thought I was fine,
3 seagrass said, muffled.
But I keep thinking of all the blood. Fuck, I miss Petals so much. Already, it's been 3 hours and I miss him so much, and that was such a stupid way to die.
Oh, not civil war at all. Something much deeper, much more immediate. Mahit squeezed her arms around her, and 3 seagrass made a miserable hiccuping sound.
This is... The whole world is changing, and I'm crying over my friend, she said. Some poet I am.
When this is over, said Mahit, you'll write 12 Azalea a eulogy that people will sing in the streets. He will be a synecdoche for everything takes Kalani's suffering right now, needlessly. No one will ever forget him, and that will be your doing, and... Oh, I'm just so sorry. This is all my fault. She was going to cry, too. And what good would that do anyone? 2 people crying on a couch underground? 3 seagrass picked up her head from Mahit's shoulder, looked up at her, tear-stained, red in the face from crying. There was a brief, strained pause. Mahit could swear she could hear the rushing of blood in her own capillaries. They were breathing exactly in time. When 3 seagrass kissed her, Mahit opened up for her as if she was a lotus floating in one of the city's gardens at dawn. Slow, inexorable, like she had been waiting a long, long time through the night. 3 seagrass's mouth was hot, her lips wide and soft. One of her hands settled in Mahit's short hair, held on tight, almost tight enough to hurt. Mahit found her hands had landed upon 3 seagrass's shoulder blades. They were sharp under her palms. She pulled her closer, halfway into her lap, without breaking the kiss. This was a terrible idea. This was lovely. It was the nicest thing that had happened to her in hours, in days. 3 seagrass kissed like she'd made a thorough study of the practice, and Mahit was glad of it, glad that she'd done it, glad of the distraction from everything else. They broke apart. 3 seagrass's eyes, inches from hers, were very wide and very dark, and red at the corners where she'd wept.
Petal was always right about me, she said.
Mahit tucked a stray strand of her hair behind her ear and let her talk.
I do like aliens, barbarians, anything new, anything different. But I also, if I'd met you at court, Mahit, if you were one of us, I'd have wanted to do that just the same.
What she was saying was exquisite, a balm and a comfort, and horrible at the same time. If you were one of us, I would want you just the same. And Mahit wanted simultaneously to climb back inside her mouth and shove her out of her lap. She wasn't Taixkalanli, she hardly knew anymore. Except that she wasn't Taixkalanli, and wouldn't be, no matter how many lovely Asekretim climbed into her arms, tear-stained, wanting to be held. Wanting to be held after sacrificing nearly everything she was for Mahit's sake. I'm glad you did, she managed. Because she was. Because it had been sweet. Come here. Let me. Her hands in Three Seagrass's hair, on the narrow channel of her spine, holding her. They didn't kiss again. Just breathed together in time, until the holo projection screen chimed 15 minutes, and changed, beginning to show a series of aerial images of the city, what someone might see from the vast height of the Sun Temple on top of Palace North. The eyes of the Emperor opening up. Chapter 21. The city rises marching, 1,000 star points strong. Released, we shall speak visions, uneclipsed. I am a spear in the hands of the sun. City protest song, anonymous, possibly attributed to Patrician First Class Three Seagrass. The full extent of Taixkalanli imperial power, even reduced, even under threat from multiple angles, was a crushing onslaught of symbolism. Mahit felt it three ways. First, her own longing appreciation, born out of a childhood half in love with Taixkalan the story. Taixkalan, the empire of poets, all-conquering, all-devouring, all-singing beast, in the garden of her imaginings. Second, the echo of Yaskander doubled. Two versions who had come to live here and make themselves into people who could live here, could move in this language and speak and see nothing but Taixkalan, and still remember La Celle as a distant and beloved home. And at last, the quick intake of breath and the full-body tremor of the Taixkalanli woman Mahit held in her arms as they both watched the theater which was meant to defuse an insurrection. It began with the Emperor's eye view of the city, that shifting panorama, slowly transformed, overlaid with the flowers and spears and sun-petal gold glow of the Imperial seal, the Imperial flags, not the battle flag, the peace flag, the one that hung behind the sun spear throne. There was music. It wasn't martial. It was old, a folk song, stringed instruments and a low flute, like a woman's voice. What is that? Mahit asked Three Seagrass, and Three Seagrass sat up a little. Her arm was looped around Mahit's waist. It's an arrangement of a song from the era of the Emperor Nine Flood, right before we broke solar system. It's old. Everyone knows it. It's... Fuck, they're being so good with the propaganda. It makes me feel nostalgic and scared and brave, and I know exactly what they're doing. The images on the holo projection resolved to the inside of a sun temple, far larger and more ornate than any Mahit had seen before, in holograph or infofiche image. The great central chamber, shaped like a belled flask, open at the top and crowned with a lens that scattered bright beams of light around the central platform and its dished bronze bowl of an altar. The entire room was jewel clear, faceted, glimmering, translucent gold, garnet red. The music died away, and there was Six Direction, standing just in front of the altar. They'd done brilliant work on him with makeup. He almost looked healthy. Almost, except for the shocking prominence of his cheekbones. Eight Loop was nowhere to be seen, but at his left stood 19 ads, resplendent in bone white. But it was the same bone white suit she had been wearing when they left, complete with a smear of 5 agate's blood on the sleeve. The Azwazwa cat bloodied in service. At his right was the 90% clone 8 Antidote. His small shoulders were very straight. His face had those same high cheekbones as the Emperor, but under healthy pads of childhood flesh. Emperor and successor and advisor, all in the heart of power. As an image, it was reassuring. As a beginning of a message to all Taixkalan, It was frightening. To have gathered them together like this emphasized the seriousness, the necessary conveyance of this particular message. That sun temple was at the very top of Palace North.
There are fleet ships in orbit right this moment, Iskander murmured to her.
Which meant, if one lightning wanted, he could blow the temple and the emperor both to nothing with a single command. Every other Taixkalanlitslum would know that too. Six Direction pressed his fingertips together and bowed over them, greeting every watcher. He did not smile. This was too serious for smiling. The camera hung about his mouth like a caress, waiting for words. When he spoke, it was a relief, a tiny burst of relaxed tension, until the words began to make sense.
Through our great work and careful husbandry of civilizations, pruning where necessary, encouraging the flowering of society where it is most beautiful, we have together held this empire, with my hands guiding all of yours. But now, in this moment of fragility, when new blooms are trembling on the verge of unfolding into the light of the stars, we are all endangered. Some of you know this danger in your hearts. Some of you have felt it in your bodies, in the sound of soldiers' feet, in the damage inflicted upon our city, the heart of our civilization, by our own limbs.
Mahit felt like her heart had crept so far up her throat that it rested on the back of her tongue. She was all pulse. This was not the speech she had expected. She had expected a moment of reassurance, and then a quick use of her own footage to prove that there was danger, and it came from outside. Was alien forces massing on the edge of Taixkalanli space? Not this careful rhetorical construction, which approached renewal as a theme. A dangerous theme, for an emperor under threat from his military and his bureaucracy both.
What is he doing? She breathed. Keep watching, said Three Seagrass. Keep watching, and wait a minute. I think I know, and I don't want to be right. You don't want— Hush, Mahit.
She hushed. The emperor kept speaking, asked for calm and for reflection.
Before the dawn, there is a quiet moment where we can see the approach of both distant threat and the promise of warmth, he said.
Next to him, 19 Ads' expression had changed from even neutrality to something Mahit recognized as dawning horror, resignation, and then a schooling of herself again to stillness. Something was wrong, and 19 Ads had noticed it. Something was happening, and Mahit didn't understand it. Six Direction was talking about LaSalle now, briefly, alighting on it.
A mining station at the edge of Taixkalanli space. A distant eye that speaks to us of danger observed.
Her own image, then, superimposed upon the frame of 19 Ads, 6 Direction and 8 Antidote. Mahit Dismar, looking very barbaric. Tall and high-foreheaded and narrow-faced with her long aquiline nose. Explaining the coming invasion from an imperial briefing room. She looked exhausted. She looked honest.
You did very well, whispered Iskander. Hardly anyone would convict you in a court of law on either side. You walked right down the center line.
The face of the emperor was behind her face. As her mouth moved on the holograph, the emperor's mouth remained a constant, still presence, as if he was commanding her performance by sheer force of will. The whole image, all of them, the entire sun temple, was replaced by a familiar map. Taixkalanli space, a grand star chart. The last time Mahit had seen this, it had been deployed to show the vectors of the annexation war which would claim LaSalle and everything around it. Now those vectors were dimmed, and as she watched, the map lit up with each of the coordinate points Daj Tarats had given to her, the places where the threat was greatest, where the aliens had been spotted in their ships, festooned with weaponry. Inverse stars on that map, bright for a moment, and then spreading a deep, dark, threatening red, like a pool of blood. Mahit thought of 12 Azalea, and was still thinking of him when the map vanished. She misunderstood what she was seeing in the Sun Temple for long seconds, lost in memory and connotation. The Emperor was holding a naked blade, a knife, made out of some dark, shining material, translucent gray at its sharpest edges. He'd shed his robe. It pooled around his ankles. All of his bones were visible, even through the light trousers and shirt he wore, every bit of emaciation his illness had wrought upon him, rendered up for the eyes of the cameras. 8 Antidote had pressed the side of his hand to his mouth, a child's gesture of distress. 19 Ads was saying something. Mahit only caught the end of it, a wisp of, "My lord, I don't." 6 Direction, speaking.
"Takes Kalan, requires a steady, even hand. A hand star-graced, a tongue prepared, a fist that grasps the sunlight. In the face of what we are about to suffer, I, who have served you since I knew what service was, I consecrate this temple and the war which is to come."
"He's really going to," said 3 Seagrass, her voice too real, too loud, and too immediate on the couch next to Mahit. "No emperor has, not for centuries."
"I name as my immediate successor, and the executor of this war of preservation, the Azwazwakat 19 Ads," said 6 Direction. "In sinecure for the child of my genetics, 8 Antidote, until the time of his majority."
Mahit had time to think, "What have I set into motion?" and to feel a great onrushing spasm of grief. Hers, 3 Seagrasses, Yaskander's. The Emperor took 2 steps backward, into the center of the raised altar.
"With my blood, I sacrifice for us," he said,
broadcast unstoppable, to every Taixkalanlitzlam in every province, on every planet in Taixkalanli space.
"Released! I am a spear in the hands of the sun."
Her words. Mahit's and 3 Seagrasses, the poetry they'd used as a lure to get themselves free, the poetry that was being sung in the streets. 6 Direction raised the knife, the sun glinting through it, and brought it down again. 2 swift cuts, high on the inner thighs, the femoral arteries gone to fountains of red. So much blood. And somehow, in the middle of that pool, 2 cuts more, from wrist to elbow, and again on the other side. The knife clattered to the metal floor of the Sun Temple. It did not take him long to die. In the silence afterward, Mahit realized she had been holding 3 Seagrass's hand so hard, her fingernails had cut into her palm. The only sound in the universe seemed to be the two of them, breathing. In her mind, Yaskander was a vast and empty void of triumph and grief. She looked away from him. She looked at nothing at all. On the screen, 19 Ads soaked in red, her suit stained beyond recognition, had caught up the knife.
"The Emperor of Taixkalan greets you," she said.
Her face was wet, blood, tears, wet and grim and absolutely determined.
"Be calm. Order is a flower blooming at dawn, and dawn is breaking now."
There was quiet for a little while, and then there was the expected sort of chaos. All those gray-uniformed Imperial guards trying to figure out what to do, where to go, how to get to their new emperor and then move her to some sort of safety,
considering there was still a Legion-leading starship with all of its weaponry pointed at the city in low orbit. Mahit and three seagrass sat in the middle of it. No one seemed to care very much about them. They weren't doing anything. They didn't seem to be an immediate threat to anyone.
"He set her up for it,"
three seagrass said wonderingly.
"She didn't know until she was up there next to him. Her brilliance, the edge shine of a knife. I guess it'll fit. Still."
They'd reversed emotional positions somehow. Mahit couldn't stop crying for very long, even if it wasn't entirely her own endocrine response. Her body had decided to dissolve into the weight of grief. Yaskander wasn't gone. She didn't think she'd ever feel that hollow, blank space wrongness again. But both versions of him were bleak, scoured cold landscapes, rooms without air. And Mahit kept weeping, even when she wanted to talk. She wiped at her nose with the heel of her hand. "Of course it'll fit," she managed. "The office will bend around her and she'll bend around it too, and it'll all be a story. Her brilliance, the edge shine of a knife, like it was never supposed to be anything different." That seemed to be comforting for Three Seagrass to hear. Mahit herself felt comfortless, angry, blown open and empty. She kept remembering how much blood there had been, how Six Direction had said, "Released, I am a spear in the hands of the sun," as if she'd written it for him. For him. And not for her, or for LaSalle. "Nothing touched by Empire stays clean," she thought, and tried to imagine it was Yaskander saying so, when it wasn't Yaskander at all. It took 36 hours for the insurrection to be over. Mahit watched most of it on Three Seagrass's Information Ministry newsfeed, lying in what used to be Yaskander's bed in her ambassadorial apartment with the other woman's cloud hook over her eye like a permanently affixed crown. Getting up seemed both difficult and unnecessary. One Lightning's soldiers turned out to be more unwilling to slaughter large numbers of marching, singing Tixkalanleetslim than Mahit suspected he had counted on. But then he'd been expecting his opponent to be Six Direction, old, failing, his military victories a long time over, beset by an uncertain succession. Not a new crowned emperor, sanctified by a blood sacrifice like something out of the oldest epics. Before 19 Adza's emperorship was a day old, the Yautlek had recalled all his troops under the cover of their protection of the city being unnecessary, and had appeared on a news program, standing next to 19 Adz, to get on his knees and put his hands between hers and swear his loyalty. There was no mention of the War of Conquest. "That's the station saved, then," Mahit said to the ceiling. Yaskander's garish and lovely painting of all of LaSalle's space, as seen from Tixkalan, was the only thing that heard her, and she could take its silence as mockery. Yaskander himself was merely a whisper. "You did better than I. That says something for the survival of our Imago line." Mahit ignored him. When she paid too much attention to him, she had crying fits, weeping, inconsolable, on and on until she was physically sick. It made her angry. It wasn't even her grief. She hadn't figured out what her grief was about yet. That night, she dreamed of Six Directions saying her poetry, speaking her thoughts, and thought she might be getting closer. If she'd been at home on LaSalle, she suspected that the integration therapists would have an absolute field day with her and Yaskander. They'd get a scientific paper out of it. By the next morning, even Yaskander found this funny. Bright shimmers in her nerves, a bit of actual energy. She got up. She ate noodles and chili oil and a protein cube that tasted almost like a LaSalle protein cube, but probably was made of some kind of plant. And then she lay down again, exhausted by that small effort, and watched the news feeds. there was little sign of Two Lemon and the other anti-imperial activists. No bombs in restaurants, no protests. Mahit assumed they'd gone back underground, quiescent for the moment, and wondered. Wondered like a person contemplating the impossibility of lifting an enormous rock to look at what grew underneath it. What Five Portico would do with the remains of her faulty Imago machine. 30 Larkspur's part of the insurrection took a bit longer to wind to a close. There was a loose detente established, a series of small newsfeed reports that a new information minister had been appointed, a man Mahit had never heard of, and that 30 Larkspur had himself been given some sort of advisory role on commerce. Not one of her brilliant 19 adzes is Wazwakatlim, but not out of the government either. It wasn't Mahit's problem. She wanted it to be, which was part of the problem. It was so difficult to put everything down, to trust that anyone, anywhere, would in fact do their jobs, that there was any safety. She wondered how 19 ads felt about it. About the same, she suspected. On the third day after Six Direction's death, after Mahit had received a beautiful infofiche stick, bone white, made from some animal, and sealed with the imperial seal, inviting her as the ranking representative of her government to attend the funeral and coronation, she decided that the absolute least she could do was get back to answering the mail. The mail, which was 3 months and 2 weeks late now. There was still a bowl of it, infofiche sticks in every possible color, from utilitarian gray plastic to 19 Adza's solid bone and gold, and she'd come here to serve LaSalle Station, and its people who had come to live in Tixkalan, who had just lived through an insurrection and a change in emperorship too, and probably wanted their permits permitted and their visas approved. She sent 3 Seagrass a message on one of the utilitarian gray sticks. You left your spare cloud hook here. Also, I could use some help with the mail. She didn't really need help. Yaskander knew how to do all of this, and so she did too. But they hadn't talked. Since. 4 hours later, 3 Seagrass showed up with the sunlight slanting through the windows, looking evanescently thin and gray-pale at the temples and around the eyes, but just as impeccable as she'd been when she met Mahit coming off the seed skiff. Every corner of her suit pressed, orange flames creeping up the sleeves. Information Ministry again, undisgraced. Hi, she said. Hi, said Mahit, and abruptly remembered nothing but how 3 Seagrass had felt in her arms, and suspected she'd blushed scarlet. Thanks for coming. The air between them felt fragile, more so when 3 Seagrass sat down next to her and shrugged, and quite clearly didn't know what to say. They'd done better with poetry. They'd done better with politics. Fuck, they'd done better with kissing, and that had been a mad reaching out for comfort. Mahit wanted to do it again, wanted, and immediately thought better of it. They'd been watching the end of an imperial reign, then. Now it was just the two of them, and the slow outgoing tide of aftermath, and Mahit couldn't quite imagine how to begin such a thing. I half thought you'd have gotten yourself made Minister for Information, Mahit said, light enough to be joking, and wouldn't have any time for me. Some of the tension went out of 3 Seagrass's shoulders. Her brilliance offered me second undersecretary to the minister, actually, she said, but I'm still your cultural liaison, if you want. Mahit thought about it while she took 3 Seagrass's hand in her hand and laced their fingers together, and said thank you, with all the honorific particles she could remember tacked on to the end, so that it became both enormously sincere and utterly hilarious all at once. Thought about working with 3 Seagrass, here in this apartment that had been Yaskander's, and finding her way toward being... what? Something 19 adds, her brilliance on the Sunspear throne might need?
That would be a way to begin. With 3 seagrass, too.
I had 20 years before it killed me, Iskander said. You might get longer.
She might. And then she remembered 3 seagrass saying, If you were one of us, I would want you just the same. And felt an echo of that encompassing anger. She wouldn't be Takes Kalanli, even if she stayed, even if she did everything Iskander had done. She wouldn't be a creature that could play, like 3 seagrass played, with language and poetry adoration contests. And she'd never stop knowing it. I think, Mahit said, right out loud, once 3 seagrass had stopped laughing and had let Mahit touch her cheek, very gently, and just once, that you should be second undersecretary to the Minister for Information. You're too interesting for this job, 3 seagrass. You should do what you plan to do when you got it, which is use me as a stepping stone toward vainglorious ambition and get back to being a poet. What are you going to do without me? 3 seagrass asked. She did not protest more than that. I'll think of something, said Mahit. Aftermath. A person could glut themselves on a surfeit of beauty, it turned out, especially if that beauty was enlivened by collective grief and deep xenophilia. The coronation of the Emperor 19 adds, she who gleams like the edge shine of a knife, her brilliance, lord of all Takes Kalan. Mahit mostly remembered it as a sequence of overwhelming snapshots. The procession that wound its way through the city, reflected and replayed on every screen. 100,000 sunlit marching, kneeling at the Emperor's white-slippered feet, rising, moving on. The algorithm readjusted, or merely accepting 19 ads as the rightful ruler of the Empire. The city itself lit up gold and red, and a deep, rich purple, blooming, blooming. The internment of the exsanguinated body of 6 Direction, buried in the earth, to rot. Encomia upon encomia. New poets on every corner. The massing of soldiers, young Takes Kalanlitsum volunteering for the coming war against the aliens, over and over and over, singing, sometimes, as they went. There were 2 new songs that went, I am a spear in the hands of the sun. One was elegiac and beautiful, and a choir sang it at the moment the great imperial crown was placed on 19 Ads's head. The other one was bawdy and obscene and relied on a pun in Takes Kalanli that Mahit would have understood if she'd been studying the language only a year. Anyone could understand how spear could be interpreted in a multitude of ways. Mahit learned that song. It was hard not to. The way 19 Ads' face never changed, not during the internment, and not when they put the crown on her. That, Mahit learned too. It was hard not to. Once the city had exhaled enough ceremony, and felt more like an exhausted runner, leaning out of breath, trying to adjust to the deep ache in its lungs, small funerals bloomed like fungi after rain. There were more and more announcements each day, some arriving by infofiche and some by public newsfeed. 304 Takes Kalanli had been killed during the insurrection, according to the official reports. Mahit suspected that number was too small by an order of magnitude. She wore her best mourning black. Black for the void between the stars, Lascelles style. Not red for blood given, like it takes Kalanlitslim, when she went to 12 Azaleas. There wasn't a body. He donated it to the medical college, which was so like him that it hurt. There was only a cenotaph, with a lovely glyph of his signature on it, placed in a wall inside the information ministry, alongside hundreds of others, every one of them an asekreta, who had died in service to the ministry. She saw 3 seagrass there, and heard her read a poem for 12 Azalea, a stark, bleak thing, vicious in its grief. An epitaph for worlds ripped out of the sky, for unfairness, for all the senseless deaths, It was beautiful, and Mahit felt guilt when she thought of all the senseless deaths that were still waiting. All those Taixkalan Litzlam singing as they signed up for the legions. All those planets they would touch and devour. She had Yaskander's corpse burned. So simple at the last, to send a request to judiciary, signed and sealed on infofiche, addressed to Explanatal Four Lever, medical examiner. The ashes were waiting for her in her apartments that evening. A box, the size of her hand, full of bones and half-mummified flesh, all rendered to dust. "Would you want me to taste?" she asked her imago, the twinned strangeness of him. A very long pause. "I don't think I'd be very good for you. That preservative." All the young Yaskander, the first one. Hers. And then, "Wait for when you don't need to ask." Which was all the old Yaskander, the one who remembered dying. Mahit considered when that would be, when she wouldn't want to make sure that she was doing some justice to her imago line, and put the box of ashes away. She did not meet the Emperor in the Imperial apartments in Palace Earth, and neither did she meet her in 19 Adza's office complex back in Palace East. Mahit imagined the latter had been shuttered. They met just before dawn, in the plaza in front of the judiciary, with its pool full of deep red floating flowers. Mahit was awake by virtue of being summoned by a gray-suited Imperial attendant knocking at her door, and wished vehemently for coffee or tea or even a nice, simple caffeine pill. 19 Ads looked as if sleep was something that happened to other people, who happened not to be emperors. It was beginning to suit her, or her face was settling into it. The new hollowness, the focus of long-seeing eyes. "Your brilliance," said Mahit. They were sitting on a bench. There was one attendant guard with them, and she did not wear a cloud hook, and she carried a projectile weapon. 19 Ads folded her hands in her lap. "I'm almost used to it," she said. "People calling me your brilliance. I think when I'm used to it, that will mean he's really dead." "No one is dead," Mahit said carefully, "who is remembered." "Is that Lascelle scripture?" "Philosophy, maybe. Practicality." "I assume it'd have to be, considering how wrapped up you are in your dead." 19 Ads lifted one hand, let it fall. "I miss him. I can't imagine what it'd be like having him in my head. How do you make decisions?" Mahit exhaled hard. In her mind, Yaskander was all fondness, warmth, laughter. "We argue," she said. "A little. But mostly, we agree. We wouldn't match. I wouldn't be his successor if I wasn't going to mostly agree with him." 19 Ads was quiet then for a long moment. The wind ruffled the petals of all the red flowers, a vast, confined sea. The sky lightened from dark gray to paler gray, shaded gold where the sun would burn off the clouds. When she couldn't stand the silence any longer, Mahit asked, "Why did you want to meet with me?" She left off the honorific. She left it a plain sentence. "Why did you, one person, want to meet with me, another person?" "I thought I'd ask you what you wanted," said 19 Ads. She smiled, that viciously gentle smile, all her attention focusing down onto Mahit. "I can imagine you might like to extract some promises from me." "Are you planning to annex my station to Taixkalan?" Mahit asked. 19 Ads laughed, a brutal, shoulder-shaking sound. "No. No, stars. I hardly have time. I hardly have time for anything." "You're safe, Mahit. you and the cell station can be as much of an independent republic as you'd like. But that's not what I asked. I asked what you wanted. In the pool, a long-legged bird had alighted, white-feathered, long-beaked, 2 feet high at the shoulder at least. As it stepped, it didn't disturb the flowers. Its great feet slipped between them and rose again, dripping. Mahit didn't know the word for the kind of bird it was. Ibis, maybe? Or egret? There were a lot of kinds of birds in Taixcalanli, and one word for bird in stationer. There'd been more, once. They didn't need more than that now. The one stood for the concept. She could ask for, oh, an appointment to a university, a place in a poetry salon, a Taixcalanli title, a Taixcalanli name to go with it, money, fame, adulation. She could ask for absolutely nothing and remain in service, the ambassador from La Salle, and answer mail, and sing a song in Taixcalanli pubs that once she'd written some of the words to, a long time ago. Nothing the empire touched would remain hers. Very little was hers already. Your brilliance, said Mahit Dismar. Please send me home, while I still want to go. You keep surprising me, said 19 Ads. Are you sure? Mahit said, no, which is why I want you to send me home. I'm not sure. What are you doing? Trying to see who we are, what is left of us, who we might be now. Approached from the underside of the largest of the pockmarked, metallic, atmosphereless planets that formed the La Salle system, the station hung suspended, perfectly balanced in the gravity well between 2 stars and 4 planets. It was small, a dull metal toroid, spinning to maintain thermal control. Rough, from 14 generations of solar radiation and small particle impact. 30,000 or so people dwelling in the dark. More, if you counted the Imago memories. One of them, at least, had recently tried to sabotage one of those long memory lines, and would be waiting to see what had come of her attempt. Mahit watched the station come into view. The Emperor's hand, slim, dark-fingered, intimately familiar, had reached out in the plaza. Reached out and taken Mahit's jaw between her fingers, turned her face. Mahit should have been frightened, or stunned into endocrine cascade. But she had felt floating, distant, free. We do need an ambassador from La Salle, 19 Ads had said, though it's not terribly urgent at the moment. If I want you, Mahit, I will send for you. Mahit felt that way now, as La Salle came back into the center of her ship's viewports. Very distant. A certain kind of free. Not, in the end, quite home. We hope you've enjoyed A Memory Called Empire, a Macmillan audio production from Tor Books. Text copyright 2019 by Anna Linden Weller. Production copyright 2019 by Macmillan Audio. All rights reserved.